Gia Virgus Falchuk with Gian Clark coming Luke Claskill and a shock than a shawl. Me, Tom Cormack, with you as always on a Wednesday night until 9 o'clock. And, well, we hope you can stay with us because we've got a very interesting programme lined up for you. Our special guest tonight is the former Glasgow Celtic player and current Finn Harps assistant manager, James Gallagher, of course, who is a member of Donegal football manager Rory Gallagher's backroom team. And, well, James, of course, is the goalkeeping coach, and we'll be talking to James later about his role with the Donegal senior footballers. And, well, for you budding goalkeepers out there, certainly some interesting thoughts, and certainly goalkeeping no longer the guy that you just stand between the posts and take the kick out. It's a lot more to it and a lot more science involved. So those of you coaches or budding goalkeepers or mums or dads of budding goalkeepers, certainly well worth listening to James Gallagher, of course, the former Glasgow Celtic player and current Finn Harps manager. Indeed, he played with Finn Harps as well. That's coming up, but first of all, we'll hear again from Greg Harkin, who is the manager of the Donegal under-14 girls, who are looking ahead to another 14 All-Ireland final replay against Tipperary after the heartbreak of letting a two-goal lead slip late in their game down in Ballymahon in County Longford on Saturday last. And Tipperary coming back into that game having trailed by 6 points in right up to the closing stages. But Donegal certainly did well, went into that game very much as the underdogs, and trailed by 9 points at one stage in the first half. But goals from Sarah Harkin from Ardra and Saoirse Broner brought them back from Saoirse Broner from Neamora brought them back into the game, and actually they led 2-6 to 2-4 at half time. But cracking contest it was. The replay is down in Tuam, and earlier this evening I spoke to Greg Harkin, the manager of the Donegal Lady side.
Well, Greg, delighted to have you back again this week. We thought we'd be back talking to you about celebrating All-Ireland's success. And it was very much a case last Saturday in Ballymahon of being so near and yet so far.
Absolutely, Tom. We're supposed to be off this week, but we've another week of training and another week of crack with the girls as well. So, no, listen, we were nearly there. I mean, it was 4 or 5 minutes into injury time, and they got a fairly dubious free, but anyway, it hit the back of the net, and nothing you can do about that. And another goal 30 seconds later, so the girls were gutted at the end, and disappointed would be an understatement, but they've been lifted since, and we're ready to rock again, because, you know, we played the better football for most of the game. They hit us at the start, and we had a very slow start, but we came back very well. We're 2 points up at half time, and we went at them after that, after the second half, and we played 20 minutes of the game with 14 players, the girls sunburned and then eventually sent off. So you look at all that, I'm looking at all the positives on it. The girls were super. I've watched the game now 3 times, and I thought I'd be disappointed at the end of it, but I've got more pride every time I've watched it. So no, very happy with it all. We get another goal this weekend. At the end of the day, they could have had a goal at the end. Our goalkeeper pulled off an amazing save with literally seconds on the clock. So we could have been a lot worse. So listen, we're in it. We're all going again. And as I said to the girls, there's not many people get to play in an All-Ireland final, never mind two. So, you know, they're happy. We've had a training session at McCool Park this week, and they've enjoyed that. So, no, we're all ready to rock again.
Yeah, and I suppose the encouraging thing about it is that you probably would have gone into last Saturday's game as very much the underdogs, because everybody I spoke to were talking up Tipperary, because they had actually only lost out, was it, to Cork in the Munster A final?
That's correct. I mean, they're... You know, Tom, this is a different level. You know, we can see it ourselves. You know, every time we step up a level, we see the level we're up against. And I mean, some of these girls were, you know, it was one girl in the middle of the field, well over 6 foot high, wonderful athlete, super footballer, and two or three more like her. So we're up against the best in Ireland, really, at this level. And our girls are up there with them. And to be honest with you, we're the better team on the day. You know, we lost it, as I say, last few minutes, and even then, you know, we get another go at it. So, no, listen, we're very happy with where Donegal's ladies football is at this level now, and, you know, the girls have put the work in, and we're delighted with everything they've done. So, just immense pride in them, Tom, last week, and we're all settled again this week. We're ready to go again. We'll make a couple of wee changes that we've decided to go with, and as I say, every time I watch the playback of the match, I get happier every time, to be honest with you.
And I know as well you were going into something of an unknown last weekend as well, because you knew very little of Tipperary. You've had a good look at them now.
Absolutely. I mean, we did get to see, you know, a bit of a game they played against Cork earlier in the year, but they've improved vastly since then, to be honest with you. But listen, there's a lot of nerves out there last week. The girls, this is girls' first time in an All-Ireland final. those nerves will have gone now. They've got the experience of that match last week under their belt. We actually know what we're up against. We know how we're going to play against it. And as I said, the confidence is very, very high again because the girls know they had it in the bag and they know they have to, what they have to do to finish it off this week.
And in terms of team and personnel, you said you're going to chop and change things maybe a little bit. Have you got everybody?
We've one girl, unfortunately, gone on holidays, and she probably would have featured at some stage, but, you know, family holidays booked, and it's expensive, so she's going off. A couple of minor injuries in the sidelines that we're a bit worried about, but we're hopeful that they'll be ready for Saturday. Making two changes from the starting team that started last week. And, you know, we've got a very, very strong bench, Tom. We've got, I mean, a superb bench. In fact, you know, any one of those girls could start the match, and that's the truth of it. That's how high the standard has been this year.
And a change of scenery this time as well. You're in Choom.
We are. We were happy with the venue. Ballymahon was fine as it was, but you know, Choom's a good stadium, good venue. Everybody knows the road. Most people in Donegal have been up and down the road to Galway at some stage, so we know the route. It's the same sort of distance. It's a long old journey. I mean, for them, it's an hour and 40 minutes on the motorway. We don't have that luxury, Tom, as you know. I think with dual carriageway outside Sligo is the only time we see four lanes. But you know what? We're not worried about that. We're happy. It's a good venue, good pitch. The parents will be happy about it as well. And it's been a lucky pitch for Donegal. Termin won their All-Ireland there in December. Our under-16s won an All-Ireland title there 6-7 years ago as well. So, you know, Donegal ladies football's had some good times in that particular town, and hopefully we'll have another one this Saturday.
Yeah. And what's the big lesson learned from last week? Besides, once you take a lead with minutes to go, you close shop and don't let two goals in the last couple of minutes.
I think tablets to keep the throat from going hoarse. I think it was hoarse by that stage. But no, listen, we know exactly what we need to do. The girls know what they need to do as well. They're well drilled, and as I say, they work very, very well as a team from 17 different clubs, and they're like one big family there at the minute now, you know, and that's just been down to their hard work. But yeah, listen, we're happy. We're happy what we're going to have to do, and we're going to have to start a bit earlier as well. And I have no doubt that we're going to do it on Saturday. I have great belief in this team.
Look, Greg, thanks a million for joining us, and the best of luck.
Thanks very much, Tom.
That's Greg Harkin there, manager of the Donegal under 14 girls who are playing Tipperary in that All-Ireland under 14B football, Gaelic football final in Choom Stadium on Saturday afternoon. 2:30 throw in from that one, and of course we'll have live updates and live score from that game on Saturday Sport here on Highland Radio. Just those of you who are interested in following Wexford Hurling, if there's any of you out there, certainly your under-21s are doing much better in the Leinster Hurling final, under-21 final against Kilkenny, than your seniors have done in recent weeks. 4-13 to 1-7 in favour of Wexford there in that one. It's about 50 minutes gone, so about 10 minutes to go. So Wexford looking pretty good in that one. I know there's all-county league action in Donegal here tonight in Division 3. Three games actually down for decision. It's Downings versus Milford, a local derby down in Park Nadunav. It's Neave Colum Kill versus Buncrana, another local derby clash in Park Neave Colum Kill in Newton Cunningham, and it's Park Red Hughes versus Letterkenny Gaels over at the Cross. And well, I can tell you the latest score from that one I had is that it's 6-4 in favour of Red Hughes there. So Stephen Friel finally getting some good performances there. Certainly has been getting good performance, maybe having a little bit unlucky on results, but certainly Red Hughes a good win in the championship last week in the junior championship, and they're leading Letterkenny Gaels there by 6-4. That's with 27 minutes gone. If there's anybody out there at any of the other games, Downings versus Milford, Neave Colum Kill versus Buncrana, or Bort versus Oris is another one. So they're all local derby clashes. We'd love to hear from you. As I said, it's in that Leinster's under-21 hurling championship. It's 4-13 to 1-7 in favour of Wexford there. And of course Kilkenny are the Leinster hurling champions once again. And well, there's two further hurling finals, provincial finals down for decision this weekend. Here in Ulster, it's Antrim versus Down. That game is in Wotonbeg on Sunday, and it's the big clash down in Munster, Tipperary versus Waterford. That game is in Semple Stadium in Thurles, so that promises to be a cracking match. And when we're on fixtures, in actual fact, I can tell you that
in the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship. There's a full round of games as well in Section 2B. Derry, they're at home to Wexford on Saturday afternoon, and Tyrone are at home to Meath on Saturday as well. 2 o'clock throw in for that Derry Wexford game, which is in Owen Beg. Tyrone are in Healy Park, a 3 o'clock throw in for that one. And the other game on Saturday in round 2B is Tipperary versus Louth. Louth, that one is in Simple Stadium. And there's one other game then in round 3A, Longford versus Kildare. That game is in Mullingar on Saturday night. That was a home venue for Longford, but the Pierce Park, some difficulty with the stand in Pierce Park and Longford, and that game has now been moved to Mullingar. And of course on Sunday, the two big games in round 2B are Armagh versus Galway in the Athletic Grounds. That promises to be a tight game, and it's Fermanagh versus Roscommon, who got back to winning ways last week. That's probably the game of the weekend in Section 2B of the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship qualifiers. It's Brewster Park versus Fermanagh versus Roscommon in Brewster Park. 3:30 throw in for that particular one. And of course we're talking about the Donegal under 14 girls, desperately unlucky to concede those late goals against Tipperary in last week's under 14 All-Ireland B final down in Ballymahon. Donegal senior ladies certainly had a very good outing, and they continued their very good form and built on that big victory they had over Down in the first round with a very impressive victory over their arch rival, the near neighbours Tyrone, in Kingspan Breffni Park. 3:19 to 1:7, that's how that game ended. Geraldine McLaughlin, Amber Barrett and Aisling Cunningham got the goals. Geraldine McLaughlin of course won 5, and Yvonne McGonigal in superb form since returning to Australia, of course the county's only ever ladies all-star, playing out on midfield, scored 7 points for Donegal. And the all-reliable and experienced Gemma Begley got 1-2 for the Tyrone ladies, who unfortunately their Ulster Championship campaign is over. They can look forward though now to the All-Ireland qualifiers, which are next month. And of course Donegal will play Monaghan in the Ulster final in Clonus at the end of the month. Monaghan defeated Armagh pretty convincingly, it has to be said, in the other semi-final. And when we're on ladies football, there's a special meeting of the Donegal Ladies County Board tomorrow night. It's been called following a request by the Donegal team manager Davy McLaughlin to have this weekend round games in the Donegal Ladies Senior, Intermediate and Junior Championship games postponed until after the Ulster final. It's the old, isn't it, the old thorny issue of club versus county once again. But 2 weeks out from the Ulster final, Donegal are playing Monaghan in that Ulster final in Clonus in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from this Sunday. And Davy McLaughlin, the Donegal manager, naturally very worried that his side could pick up some injuries. There's quite a lot, the bulk of his squad are actually involved, and quite a few of them involved in gigantic tussles as well. Glenn Fenn and his own club of Moville in particular is one game that he's particularly worried about. I think there's 7 players involved in that one. So that meeting is on tomorrow night at 8 o'clock to determine if the Donegal Ladies Board are going to postpone the first round or the second round of games in the club championship. That's both the senior, intermediate and junior championship action. So obviously that's the issue that keeps arising. And of course the Donegal men's program very limited at the moment, just one game in Division 2 down for decision this weekend. That's Bundoran versus Ní Mura in Gaelic Park. And of course, as we said, we have those games on tonight as well in Downings versus Milford, Neve Collum, Kill versus Buncrana, Red Hughes versus Letterkenny Gales, and Burt versus Urs. And there's further round of games on Sunday in Division 3 of the All County Football League as well. Red Hughes will play Milford, and Downings will play Burt in Park Nadunov. And there's a couple of games on in Division 4 of the All County Football League as well. Convoy, who got their championship campaign off to a winning start last week against Robert Emmett's, they entertain table toppers Neve Ulton. That game is on Saturday evening, and it's Robert Emmett's versus Pettico as well in that Division 4. A couple of games on in Division 4 of the All County Football League as well. on Sunday. Niamh Porrick of Lifford are at home to Cairn Donagh, and Rossa entertain Moville. Certainly Moville will get the prize probably for the longest trip of the weekend. That's the latest we have in those fixtures for Donegal. Of course, Donegal in action against Monaghan on Sunday week in the Ulster final. Eagerly waited tie, and we'll have plenty of chat about that in the coming days or so. But that's supposed to bring me on nicely to our special guest tonight, who is James Gallagher, former Celtic player, former Finn Harps manager and indeed goalkeeper as well, and current Harps assistant manager to Ollie Horgan. He's also the goal coaching co-op for Donegal senior manager Rory Gallagher. And well, I spoke to him at the team press conference on Saturday morning last, and I began by asking him, I suppose, how did he end up in the role with Donegal?
Well, James, I suppose the first question is, how did former Finn Harps manager, former Finn Harps goalkeeper, former Glasgow Celtic player end up involved with Donegal?
Just a phone call, I guess, over the winter months from Rory. I was well aware of the change there, and he came in, and it was a wee bit out of the blue, you know. I had a missed call. The wife told me Rory Gallagher was on the phone. I says, well, there's only one or two Rory Gallaghers, I was thinking, so I think it might be the, surely it's not the Donegal manager. And so I rang back and got Rory, and we had a conversation, and followed by a few more conversations, and you know,
what was he looking for? What did he tell you he was looking for?
Just looking to go to the next level, you know, looking to move forward, and looking to bring things just to another level, improve just small aspects of obviously in my case the goalkeeper's game. Mm. He just felt with my own experience, and you know, I've done a bit of both really. I'm obviously coach outfield players, and you know, not as much goalkeepers, but when I have done it, I've really enjoyed it, and it's something that I have a lot of experience. And so he basically looked at trying just to take these boys, you know, maybe kick them on another wee bit, and like he has done with all the players too, trying to bring them just that wee bit extra.
And I'm sure you have brought something, because obviously you were in Glasgow Celtic for a few years, weren't you? You know, and you've managed Harps and whatever, you know, you've been involved at the highest level, and got a great grounding, shall we say?
Yeah, well, you bring that, you know, you don't really. That side of it, when you have a role as a goalkeeping coach, you know, there's not as much you can bring to the table. Yes, you can manage the goalkeepers, you know, physically and mentally. You can work at them. You know, you have that bit of experience with like psychologically getting them their confidence levels good and getting all that. You know how to manipulate them in that way, and that comes from managerial experience, really. And it also comes from, you know, being in high pressure situations yourself. You can push on some bits of advice and so on. But all my goalkeeping training is based on, you know, hard work. And you know, in my opinion, the goalkeepers are going to work every bit as hard as the outfield players. And you know, and I think we've managed to do that.
And there is a good crossover, isn't there? It doesn't really matter whether you're a goalkeeper or coach, a goalkeeper in soccer or Gaelic. There isn't that big a there probably are subtle differences, but nothing major.
Nothing really major, no. You know, there's a wee transition in both. If you're a soccer keeper coming to Gaelic, the big standout one would be the high ball, you know. In soccer, you're obviously not used to boys being able to stick their fist up, and, you know, that's the big one. And then from the other way, from the Gaelic going to the soccer, it's probably more to do with your positioning and patrolling your 18-yard box, and whereas in the Gaelic, they tend to stay back a little bit further. Although, I think with Papa recently, we've got him a wee bit further out, and he's commanding high balls and so on coming in there, which has been a good benefit to the team.
That's something that's come from the soccer, and something that probably Gaelic can learn from soccer.
Yeah, well, that's it. You know, it's you know, a goalkeeper, and to be fair to Rory, he's from day one, he's been saying that he wants Papa out. He wants him. He doesn't want him to be standing on the line, because he has too much to offer. To be just standing in on the line, and he wants him out if there's high balls coming in. He wants him to take command, and he wants to be in charge back there, and that's very much the way you want your soccer goalkeeper to be. Anything in the 18-yard box, and anything in particular comes anywhere near your 6-yard box, you want it, you're in charge. Whether it's yours or whether it's somebody else, you decide.
And it's your area.
That's your area, and you're the man in there. And there's, you know, and with Papa's capabilities, he's well able for anything that comes in there.
How did you find the change, or did you find it a change when you came in? What was the eye opener, or were there eye openers?
There was a huge eye opener. You know, it's from the outside looking in over the last few years, when you see the success that this group of players have had, and you know, you can only imagine how well they prepare and how well they train and so on. But when you come in, it does open your eyes, and it's at a level that even I thought it wouldn't be. Mm. And it's so meticulous from the management, but not only from the management and backroom staff, it's the players themselves. You know, they're so meticulous in their preparation, how they look after their bodies, how they prepare their bodies, and it is an eye opener. Not really surprised, but the level they're operating at is very impressive.
When you see the level they're operating at, it's no great surprise that they've been successful.
No, not at all. You know, it goes hand in hand, you know, and I think that's what I guess a lot of the players know. It needs to be that, and if it drops below it, then it's inevitable what comes after it. Mm. You know, probably comes, you know, failure, or, you know, the results aren't as good, but they leave no stone unturned. And, you know, everybody on any given day can have a poor day or get turned over. Mm. But when you prepare the way these boys prepare, at least you can look back and say, well, we're doing everything right, you know.
Mm. When you're preparing your goalkeeper and you're preparing for a match, say like an Ulster final or say like a semi-final last week, do you study the opposition?
Yeah, well, Rory will make me and the goalkeepers well aware of two or three key points, you know, of what we're going to have to deal with, absolutely. And as you could see in the semi-final, there was quite a few long balls going in. So we done a fair bit of preparation on that. I thought we coped really well with it, you know, whether it even be just getting a fingertip to things or just getting a punch or a hand or so on. And I think there was a great example there where Papa came for a ball and Neil McGee had dropped back on the line and cleared the ball off the line. Mm. Now, that wasn't by accident, you know. Yeah. That was preparation, that was worked on.
Communication
and understanding amongst the players, and it was great to see. So in that regard, you know, that was probably one of the things we were preparing on. But there's a huge emphasis as well on kicking. And I think from a kicking point of view, I think it went quite well in the semi-final as well. I think bar one, yeah. I think we'd have to be happy with Papa's performance from a kicking point of view.
Yeah. Goalkeeping has really changed, hasn't it, from the old guy that was picked just to stand in goals many years ago to the guy that it is now, and it's taken to a whole new level.
Yeah, absolutely. It's said that pretty early to Papa and Michael, and you have Mark Anthony there as well. It's actually... it's a great position to be in now in Gaelic football, because it's such actually now a high profile position. Teams put so much emphasis on goalkeepers, on kickouts. In team meetings, I've noticed goalkeepers are heavily involved in everything that goes on. And you know, whereas before, as you say, you know, he was just the last line, and you know,
he couldn't maybe run or whatever.
Yeah, he'd catch it and kick it, but. No, need to be very mentally tuned in to the game plan, and to from a goal kicking point of view, God, there's so many different variations, and the boys need to know them, like the back of their hand, about the routines and so on. And I said it's great, you know. I said to them, it's brilliant, you know, to be so involved now in game plans and how the team's going to play and set up and so on. So it's so much better than, as you say, as it used to be.
Yeah. Anyway, as we said at the outset, you know, you've come from soccer, Finn Harps, assistant manager, former manager, obviously Celtic as well. But it's not all alien to you. You have a background in Gaelic as well. You played with Clonaily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I used to play for Clonaily. I think I have quite a few county medals on the shelf at home from Clonaily. We had a pretty good spell there back in sort of under 12s, under 13s, 14s, and so on, and played outfield. Never really played much in goals in Gaelic. Played centre half back, and I was handy enough.
It was probably until you went to Celtic, which was probably 50-50 between it and soccer, was it?
Yeah, I was playing both sports right up until the last minute, you know. Even when I came back from on the summer holidays from Celtic, I would sneak a couple of games in, but it was always outfield, and I think it helps. Goalkeeper needs to play in goals the majority of the time in Gaelic, but I believe it can help too if they're able to get out and play, and it works their mobility and their fitness and stuff. But it was mainly outfield for me, and I really enjoyed it, and it's something that's it's a long time ago, but it's something I really enjoyed, and unfortunately now we're at a stage where them days are behind us. But it's at least when you're involved here, that's why it's such a, you know, it's great for me to get in here at this stage of my career and see how an operation at this level works, you know.
And obviously, you're very busy, been assistant manager of Harps, and involved with Donegal. It takes up a lot of time.
Yeah, extremely busy. I've never been as busy, I suppose, as either a feast or a famine, you know. And, you know, I have the role here with Donegal, and then the Fun Harps role, and that then you have your work, and then you have your young family, and it's pretty...
A lot of balls in the air,
and it's... But it's good, you know. It's. I knew what I was getting into. I knew it was going to be a big commitment, because the commitment here, in particular, with Donegal, is massive. But it doesn't seem massive, you know. Not once yet have I heard even a whisper or anything of the sorts that players think it's too much or whatever. It's just the norm for these boys now, and it's amazing, really. You know, they wouldn't have it any other way.
And tell me, 2 weeks out from Ulster final, how would you assess the mood in the squad?
Yeah, well, it's good, you know. The Derry game was, you know, it was what it was. You know, it kind of, we didn't have it all our own way, and you know, it always leaves you coming off a performance or a result like that. That, you know, it gives you plenty to work on, and that's the best way, you know. And but I think the mood in general from day one, it's kind of calm, it's composure. These boys know what they're doing. You know, and every game, I've yet to see this group or Rory and the management prepare any less for any game. It doesn't matter whether it was back in the league or now. The preparation is so meticulous, and every game is treated on its own merit, and it'll be the exact same for Sunday. The exact same amount of work will go into it, no more, no less. They'll cover every corner of the pitch, and, you know, up after that, it's up to
the old cliches.
Yeah, the old cliches after that, you know. Yeah.
That's James Gallagher there, the Donegal goalkeeping coach, and of course who had a stint with Glasgow Celtic as a young lad, and was there for a couple of seasons until a knee injury kind of brought an end to his career. Of course, he came back and played with Finn Harps for a while, and indeed managed Harps, and is also involved in Harps there. But certainly any of you that thought that the goalkeeper was the guy that just stood between the posts and took the kick-outs, certainly that day is gone, and very interesting insight into the role of the new goalkeeper. And I felt there that new role of the goalkeeper probably acting as a sweeper behind the defence. It's something certainly, I suppose, we've seen at seven-a-side football, but we haven't seen much of it in Gaelic. So keep an eye out for Papa, or as you're wondering who Papa is, that's Paul Durkin, the Donegal goalkeeper that James was referring to there. But that's about it from tonight's programme. Just before we go, just what's the latest news? Bernard Brogan is an injury doubt for Dublin's Leinster Championship clash with Westmeath in Crow Park on Sunday. And Brendan Murphy is going to deputise on the bench for Meath, who are without their regular goalkeeper Paddy O'Rourke. But that's about it from me from this week. Just to remind you once again that we'll be back again next week, looking ahead to the Ulster final meeting of Donegal and Monaghan. From me until next week, Slán agus Beannacht.